All right, welcome to the next video. I hope you're enjoying these. Plenty to think about. Let all the things that you're learning percolate in your mind. A lot of your best thoughts will come when you're not working at something, but it's there. It's all working. Things will happen in your life. You'll meet somebody, and it will relate to things that you've learned. So keep learning. Keep growing. God created us with these minds that can absorb things, not only absorb things, but uniquely put them together. God is a God who works through many different means. So what we're going to look at in the next three videos is how to start a business. How, if you were thinking a business, starting a business or an enterprise, what are the things that you would do? I put here as the tagline, do something. A lot of people talk and think and read, but they never actually do something. I'm hoping that you are one that will actually try to do something. You may fail. You probably will fail if this is your first attempt. But you'll never get to success without trying, without doing something. Okay, start with your education. You want to start something, you want to start a business, start by learning something. This class, for example, you're taking this class, you're interested in enterprise, you're interested in tent making perhaps, making a living, supporting your family, but also getting into ministry. That's why you came to Christian Leaders Institute in the first place. So start with this class. And then there are other classes that you could take in the enterprise program. There's classes on finance. There's a whole class on marketing. We're going to keep adding classes. Talked to Henry this morning. He has this person that can teach a class on leadership. We're going to have class after class after class on these topics. This is sort of just 101. It's an introductory to the whole concept. You get a general idea of all these things, but I encourage you after this class to take other classes. Go in depth on some of these things. It will greatly help you in terms of starting something. Call on successful people that you know. Call on successful people that you know in your town or that are somehow in your network, and just ask if you can ask them a few questions. I know somebody who called on some of the big names in our country, and you wonder how did he do that? And what he did is he sent a letter to the secretaries, and he said, I would like 15 minutes with your boss just to ask him about business, and I will pay $100. I will pay $100 to have this talk. Most of them let him have the talk for no money at all. They were just amazed that he was willing to do that, to hear what they had to say. So talk to people, successful people that you know. Call successful business people that you've heard of. Why not? The worst that can happen to you is someone will just say no. You'll be amazed at how many people will say yes if you have some kind of connection. And it can be a connection of any sort. You know, I'm Dutch. I can call on any Dutch person in the world and start off with, hey, I'm Dutch too, and I want to learn something about what you do, and so I'm calling you. And 9 times out of 10, they will meet with me because there is some kind of connection. We connect with what is familiar. Next, look for a mentor. Someone that can help you. Someone who's succeeded already. And there's two kinds of mentors to look for. One is someone that is hugely successful. Someone in your network. For Henry and I with CLI, when we started connecting with someone like a Rich DeVos, co-founder of Amway, one of the richest people in the world. And the connection was possible because there's a similar background, same denomination, same Dutch background. And so it was a possibility. Well, he agreed to mentor us and to help us, and so we learned a lot from someone who was incredibly, wildly successful. And that's helpful. The number one thing it does for you is it bolsters your sense of what is possible and what you could do, Because people, in the end, are people. And you'll discover that. The most wildly successful person in the world is still a person, just like you. Secondly, find someone who's just ahead of you. I just listened to a TED talk, and this person was talking about how people succeed. And when they listen to a successful person who is wildly ahead of them, often they get discouraged. If you play basketball with someone like Shaquille O'Neal, who is 7 feet tall and he can dunk the basketball, it's discouraging for someone like me, 5'9", because I can't even come close to doing what he does. So if I do something and it's totally out of my league, I feel like a beginner. I get discouraged because I'm a long ways from being what they are. But if I, play a sport with someone who's just a little bit better than I am, then I feel like, hey, I'm close. If I just keep working at this, I could actually be as good as this person. So find someone in business, someone who's just gotten started, someone like you, who's just a little bit ahead of you, and talk to that person. Because when you're done talking, you'll feel like, hey, I can do this too. For me, in my whole church planting world, it was Henry. He was planting a church in Chicago. I was planting a church in Vancouver. I don't know if he was ahead or if I was ahead, but we were in similar places. I talked to other people. I went to seminars, people that built mega churches, and a lot of times I just get discouraged. I'm a long way from that. But when I talk to Henry, it's like, hey, you're doing this thing that I'm doing, and what you do is something that I could possibly do. And it was very, very encouraging. All right, next, if you want to start a business, you got to figure out what your product or service is. What is it going? Are you going to come up with a product that you sell? Are you going to come up with a service that you do for someone? Basically, those are the two things. Things to sell to people, products and services. If you come up with a product or even a service, make a prototype of a product or a makeshift service to test it. You have an idea? Instead of, you know, going in and manufacturing a bunch of things and spending a lot of money, make a few. Back in 1996, Henry and I joined forces. We started our own nonprofit. I moved from Vancouver. He moved from Oregon, and we came to Chicago. We're going to start a new nonprofit. And we had an idea. I had taken a time management course, and we had a thing called the planner, and there was a way to keep track of your things and your times and what you were doing, your to-do list and all of that, and your goals and all of that kind of stuff. We're going to talk about that in a video in the future. But at the same time, I was struggling or figuring out this whole concept of a walk with God in my personal life, my marriage, my family, my church, all of these things. So on the one hand, I was trying to get my life in order, time management, and I'd write in my to-do list and all these things. And then I had my prayer sheets. We actually did prayer, and we wrote out our prayers. So I'd get up in the morning, and I would write out my prayers. God, bless this meeting, bless this thing I'm going to do, bless, you know, and I'd go through my prayers. Then I'd get to the church office and I'd get out my planner and I'd write my to-do list. You know, I'm going to do this meeting, I'm going to do this thing, you know. And after a couple of weeks, I discovered, you know, I'm doing this twice. I'm making my prayer list and then I'm making my to-do list and they're the same thing. So we had this idea of, why don't we do a planner that does both? Where your to-do list is your prayer list. I only do it once. My planning is my prayer to God. And so Henry and I, we bought MacBooks, and they were tiny little things, and we learned how to do these programs, and we made a planner. It was a 365-day, two-page planner. And the to-do list was the prayer list. And we put in a verse for the day, and we put in a thought for the day, and we put in a question for the day. And then while we were at it, we thought, well, let's put different reading tracks, Bible reading tracks, through the whole Bible in a year, through the New Testament in a year. We added these different things. And it was a planner. And so we did it, and we printed like 1,000 of them. And then we started marketing them. We put it in magazines. We put it here. And I remember we have a picture somewhere of the first van load that we brought to the post office. We started with just an idea. We used it. We had other people use it. And then we printed a small number to see, can we sell these? And then we got connected to the Bible League, another nonprofit organization. We brought the planner thing to them. We started doing it with school, in schools. And soon we were doing $50,000 a year. We started with a small little idea. We made them out of paper. We Xeroxed them and we used them ourselves. We then got other people to do the same thing. We started out small. And then we gradually built from there. Make a prototype. Make a prototype of your service, and then get out there and do something with it. Test, test, test. Go out and make something happen. Don't sit at a desk and try to figure out everything and get your product perfectly, and then when you have your product perfectly, make a gazillion of them, because it might not work at all. What you come up with is never the thing, ultimately, that you're going to do or make or sell. So you've got to do little things, little at a time, get out there and make it happen over and over again. Test. All right. Start with friends and family. People will try them because they're related to you. Hey, I got this concept. Try this. Henry and I started something called Life Debt 21 back in the 90s. And it was a walk with God. And it was the Serendipity Bible. And it was writing out your prayers. And if you did your prayers for 21 days in a row, you'd get a green sticker. If you did it 42 days in a row, you got a silver sticker. If you did it 63 days in a row, you got a gold sticker. I still have my Bible with my stickers in it. We started with our family and friends. Hey, we think people should have a walk with God. You want to try this? And then we did it. And then once our family and friends liked it and it seemed to be going really well, we did it in our churches. And then we started making a kit. We made some little cassettes that people could listen to, how it's done. And we packaged them, put them in a box, and we sold them. We started with our family and friends. We weren't worried about making a huge profit. Let's just see if this works at all. Eventually, when it worked well, we called up the Serendipity Bible people. We got a deal, you know, if we bought so many of them. And so, you know, we started to scale things. But in the beginning, we just did what we could. We used a copier. Just make it happen. Put some mud on the wall. That's a phrase we have here in the United States. You put some mud on the wall and see if something sticks. You try something. If it sticks, if it works, then we keep developing it. Half the things that we try, are we going to throw that mud on the wall? It's just going to fall down and come to nothing. Okay. But if you don't throw mud on the wall, you're never going to find out what works and what doesn't. Sell your prototype and or your makeshift service to as many people as you can. Get out there and make something happen. I can't emphasize this enough. Just go out and do the process of getting out there, talking to people, seeing if it works, seeing what's wrong is going to fine-tune the idea that you have. Make a business plan. Maybe you've heard about business. When you want to start a business, you got to make a business plan. Make a business plan only after plenty of trial and error. Too many spend a lot of time and money perfecting an idea that ultimately does not work. I know so many people that have gone, for example, into teaching. They go to 4 years of college. They go into this teaching profession. And after 4 years of college, they discover that they really don't like kids. Or they don't like teaching. And they discover that after 4 years of school. Before you invest 4 years of school into this thing, practice teach. Volunteer. Go to church. Teach Sunday school. See if you like this. Then put in all the time and the effort. So people will do that. They'll just spin their wheels, spending all this time. So in a business, it's easy to sit at a desk and make logos and make possible titles of your name and research this and research that instead of getting out there and doing something. You got to get out of the office and start talking to people. It's easy to sit at a desk and make plans, design logos, map out websites, and play around with numbers. You know, if I make this, if we make so many of these, we sell so many, this is how much money we can make. I'm not saying you don't do any of that, but you can spend all your time doing that rather than get out and talk to potential customers. That's where the idea is going to go. You have to talk to people. Okay. Opportunity comes when you are out on the street making connections. So, number one, learn from potential customers. They're going to tell you whether they like it or they don't. That's the cool thing about the marketplace. If people don't like it, they won't buy it. Here's some questions that you might ask people. Why do you think most people would not want to buy this product or service? So you have a product, you have a service, you take it to them and you go, why do you think people wouldn't want to buy this product? Now, it's kind of a negative thing, but I'll tell you, it works. I used it in church planting. People that I would meet, I was planting a church in Surrey in British Columbia near Vancouver, and every person that I met, I asked this question, why do you think people don't go to church? It was a great question. Why do you think people don't go to church? Now, I wasn't asking them why they didn't go to church. If I was asking them why they didn't go to church, it would be offensive. But I was asking them what they thought. Why do you think people don't go to church? They were eager to tell me. Oh, I'll tell you why people don't go to church. I'll tell you, the two most common answers was sermons are irrelevant and boring. And number two, churches are more interested in money than they are in you. So I know those. I had to answer those two objections. So I'd ask them that question. They would go on and on and on. They were happy to tell me because I was asking for their opinion. And they knew something about it. By the way, they would, in the end, tell me why they didn't go to church. Then the follow-up question was this. The follow-up question was, if you were to go to church, what would you like to see different there? If you were. I'm not saying you'd want to go to church, but if you were to go to church, what would you want to see? And all of a sudden, I've got a person who would never consider going to church considering it. They're thinking, okay, well, if I were to go to a church, which is a thought I've never had in my life, this is what would have to change. This is what I would like to see. And so just adapt that to the business world. If you were to buy this product or service, what would you change about it that would help you do so? See, I got them actively now considering my product or considering my service. And they're going to give their insights as to what it would take for me to sell it to them. Opportunity comes when you're out on the street making connections. Number two, learn from related businesses. Here's another question you could ask. I'm starting a business related to your business. How could I do my business in such a way that would help your business? Is there something I could do that would help you? Or is there something that your business could do to help me? See, when you ask it like this, you're asking for a partner, not a critic. What advice do you have for a guy starting out in a business like yours? I'm coming to you. I'm being humble. I am looking to you as a leader. I am honoring you. And I'm saying, what could you do to help me? I did this with, I mentioned I play pickleball. It's a game and, you know, I'm advancing and doing pretty well. But there was a group of people that were at the next level. And one of them, he never wanted to play with me. He totally ignored me. He had nothing to do with me. And one time in between games, I looked at him and I said, you know, you're a really good player. What would someone like you, what kind of advice would someone like you give to me? And he sat down and he saw it. He said, well, I think you could do this, this, and this. And then he said, well, why don't we play a game against some other people? And I did exactly what he said. He is one of my best friends now today. And he takes credit for all the good things that I've done. But that one little question, what could I do that would help me? You're a good player. What could I do that would help me? He became a mentor without even trying. He became interested in me. Why? Because when I succeed, he succeeds. He succeeds as a mentor and a coach. Number three, learn from random people. I'm starting a business that sells this or offers this service, and I'm looking for advice from ordinary people, the kind of people that may or may not be interested in my product or service, and that might be you. How can you help me? what would you say about my idea or my person? Now, I'm not asking for criticism. I'm asking for help. And there's a difference between the two. When you ask for criticism, when you ask someone's opinion, hey, what do you think of this? People go into critique mode. Well, I don't like this. I don't like that. If you show somebody something you've designed on the computer and say, well, what's your opinion of this? They think that if they're going to say anything intelligent, they have to say something that's critical of what you've just done. Well, I like it, but I think the blue is wrong or the font is too big. If you ask for someone's opinion, you get a critic. If you ask for someone's help, you get a partner. Hey, could you help me with this? See, now they're a partner. Now they're invested. Now they're part of it. So ask for help. So in this video, step one, we've explored some ways that you can get going. They're just basic ways of thinking about starting a business. In video number two, we're going to continue this question of how does one actually get off the ground and starting something.